One of my favorite things to do with my downtime is to go and visit a local museum. Whether I'm in a city or a town or some place that I haven't been before, one of the first things I look for, aside from my hotel, is what are the natural history museums in the area. And sometimes it can be very hard to find one, especially if you don't get to travel as much as you'd like to. Thankfully, one brilliant person is putting together a really great plan to make museums more accessible to everyone. And she's here with us right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, please help me to welcome Elena Iskandarova from Museum Traveler. Hi, Elena, how are you doing?
Hi, Jamie. I'm doing really good. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. So, Elena, I have to start. First question I have to ask of you, Elena Iskandarova, what's your favorite dinosaur?
Oh, that's a hard question. I know you would ask Triceratops, Tyrannosaurus Rex, Troodon, but my favorites are actually Trax of all sorts. I love tracks. I like to do the photogrammetry of the tracks.
Interesting. You're a big fan of the ichno fossils, huh?
I am. I am the rare one.
What made you decide that the tracks and the footprints of the ichno fossils were your favorites?
I think it came through my passion of combining technology and science. So doing photogrammetry brings me so close to those animals. Sometimes when you're exploring the site, you realize you are the first here after 150 million years going along those Jurassic animals, and it's amazing.
So let's talk a little bit about what this is, because you're here because you're talking about photogrammetry. So you go out to these sites, you go out to these places where you find dinosaur footprints and other things like that, and then you're actually scanning them. So how do you describe yourself? What are some of the things that you, would you call yourself a paleontologist? Would you call yourself a scientist, a technologist, a researcher? What's your LinkedIn set?
I'm a scientist. So my master's degree is in computer science and engineering.
Oh, fantastic. How do you blend that into the paleontology?
Thank you. I was always into paleontology since I was 4 years old. I was digging my grandma's garden. I was digging every rock, splitting everything I could with my 5 years old little hammer. But after high school, I decided to go to computer science, which was probably a good advice for my parents because it's pretty hard to get a job in paleontology. But after graduation, I worked a little bit in IT, and then I decided to bring my experience and expertise to the field that I truly love.
And that's where the photogrammetry comes in. That's wonderful. So talk us a little bit about what photogrammetry is and how you use it in the terms of more than just dinosaur footprints.
So photogrammetry is not something completely new. It's been since, 1980s. Photogrammetry, it's a combination of multiple photos which are overlapped with each other. So you go in a few different dimensions, like a portrait mode and a horizontal mode, and then you combine it all together and you create this mathematically accurate model, very, very precise. So you can document a little track like this tiny. I send you the photo of the little baby raptor. It's one of probably my most favorite project that I've been working. So it was Jurassic formation. Martin Lockley found it years ago, and he asked me the question, like, can you do photogrammetry of it? So from my height, it looked like a little teeny tiny dip in the rock. And I was, oh, sure. So I did about 100 photos from different heights, combining 200 photographs together, and it turned out crazy cool. You can see the little claw.
Yeah.
In the depth map. So when you color it in different, when you do the photogrammetry in the depth maps, it can show you in different colors the depth perception of the objects that you have photogrammetry working on. And the claws are visible on photogrammetry and you cannot see it with your bare eyes.
So you can see it more closely
because of how,
than even the scientists out there say, I think there's something here. And then you come along and say, oh yes, it's a raptor claw. Because of this technology you're using.
So it's so hard to see with your eyes because of the shadow, because of the size. But with a depth map, you can see, okay, so this is the dip, and you can see the claw. So it definitely just shows you all of the depths. It's incredible.
Now, you said this is about 200 photos that you took. Are these individual photos you're taking, or what kind of equipment are you using to get into photogrammetry?
I'm using Canon Mark 4, 5D Mark IV, and I'm using 24mm lenses. It's individual photographs, which you combine together.
So you had to get down and take 200 photographs of this raptor claw going around like this. My knees are hurting just thinking about it, and you had to do it.
Sometimes you have to climb a ladder.
Yeah.
My biggest project was I was climbing the height of maybe the third floor of the building, and I was doing the photogrammetry of the whole wall.
The whole wall of a building?
It was dinosaur tracks. Yeah, but
oh my gosh.
And I was at the very top thinking, I don't have life insurance.
Okay, so you've got these 200 photos now. You've taken this very expensive camera equipment up to completely OSHA unfriendly heights, and now you've documented this 200 times. What's next?
Next, you open a special software. I work with Metasoft Edgesoft, and it's tons of stuff how you can reduce the number of points. So on each photograph, you recognize 100,000 little points. Then you do the alignments of each photograph. All the points from photo A are aligned with the same point on photo B. That's why how it's combined, and it's created this huge dense cloud. But because of the nature of the camera and lenses, and there is like some dust flying over, some insects crawling, there are a lot of incorrect data that you have to remove. So you go through those steps of error reductions and camera calibrations. And basically my experience is I'm removing 90% of all those dots.
So it does 100,000 automatic dots of like, we think this belongs to this. And then you got to go through and say, no, that was a cockroach leg. Nope, this is not it. So you have to manually correct those individual data points. Okay, so now you've taken the photos, you've uploaded them into the program here. You've gone through, you manually edited and adjusted everything. When does the analysis take place now?
So the analysis is basically those steps of error reductions. Then you create the dense point clouds. So you remove all those unnecessary points, those physically incorrect data from the lenses. Then you do the mesh. So you create this nice polygonic environment. And then you apply the textures, meaning that on top of those scan data, you put photographs in a 3D way of things.
Okay,
if it makes sense.
So you take the photographs. You have to arrange them then.
I'm doing it in a software, but yes.
Yeah. That's very cool. And then the result,
as you've
shown us here, is this incredible view of just meticulous imagery of a creature that walked the earth hundreds of millions of years ago and is now available for us to get a closer appreciation of. That's incredible.
I love to make those available to everybody. Not everyone can travel to Utah and explore all of those remote and isolated sites.
And that's where you've taken this to a whole new direction with your inspiration of your creation of Museum Traveler.
This is exactly how the company was born.
So tell us more about what Museum Traveler actually is then, because I know this was a thing that you had on Kickstarter a while back. I was a backer. So I'm excited for the project too. So I already know what it is. They don't know what it is, though. Tell them what's going on.
Immerse yourself in the wonders of the world with breathtaking, photorealistic 3D. Welcome to Museum Traveler, the first platform to bring national parks, museums, historical sites, and iconic landmarks right to your screen. Listen to stories from all over the world from leading scientists and experts. Engage with interactive exhibits and watch exclusive documentaries and behind-the-scenes interviews for only $2.99 a month or $24.99 a year. Welcome to the future of travel where every destination is accessible to anyone, anywhere. Discover, learn, be amazed. Museum Traveler, where history meets technology.
It evolved so much. So it's been over 3 years that we started the project of why can't we bring a 3D of something from a little object or a big site to the whole venue, or basically like we just did the whole city. Museum Traveler, it's a platform of bringing those VR, AR, or just a flat screen experiences of museums, national parks, historical sites, the whole cities. So you can go and explore like you're literally walking in these environments. And we put all the documentaries inside, all the cool information, all the facts. So when you're exploring this virtual reality or immersive experiences, so you can learn actually so much more than you even inside in physical space.
And we're going to take a look at how that works right here, because you've given us a bit of a sneak preview, because this right now, as we're recording this, it's very close to becoming available to everybody, but it's not out just yet. So this is going to be like a sneak preview of how Museum Traveler actually works. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's take a look at this now. And where are we going to be visiting?
Let's go to Morrison.
We're going to go to the Morrison Formation in Morrison, Colorado. Any particular place in Morrison, Colorado?
Morrison Natural History Museum. This is my favorite place, and it's exactly where the company was born.
I love that. I love that museum. Let's check it out. Let's go. Here we are. Ah! All right. So here we are. So now I see we're inside. This is actually inside Museum Traveler. This is what you see if you're using the platform.
Yeah, this is one of our venues. And this is where the idea of the company came from. It was the first time I met the director of the museum. And I asked him, Matthew, would you like to do this type of projects? Why can't we do the whole museum in 3D? We put all the content, we record all the videos about every single exhibit. And he said, why not?
Yeah. This is so cool.
Thank you.
So you can the entire museum.
This is the entire museum. And what I love about it, when you have...
You got the signs too.
We have everything. Yeah.
Whenever I go to a museum, I photograph all the signs. I document every single thing that I'm there. He's like, I'm going to take this here. I'm going to take this there. I want to check it later on. That's so cool. Look at this. Oh, look at the Mosasaurus, the Allosaurus.
Yep. We have everything. And we have videos about every single display.
It's Matthew.
This is Matthew. He is absolutely great presenting.
Can I tell you, he's part of the reason that he inspired me to do my mobile museum as well.
Oh, really?
I had a conversation with him. He was one of our previous interviews, and one of the things he stressed is that the future of museums has to be decentralized, that people can get to them from everywhere. And I thought, okay, I'll throw a bunch of bones in a trailer, and I'll bring my big robot dinosaur here around. But you've taken it in a decidedly different direction.
I guess Morrison inspired a lot of companies. Yep, a lot of ideas.
It really does. It really does.
Yeah. This is our photogrammetry, the 3D models of everything.
Stegosaurus plate. Oh, there's a Stegosaurus foot in the museum, isn't there?
Quite a lot. So this is a fully grown up adult Stegosaurus. There is a little baby hatchling, but I want to show you one of my favorites. So this one is just an incredible slab because it represents the growth. And here are, I will show you a little bit my details. Okay, check it out.
So not only can I walk into the museum, but now you've got your scanned data of this track. Oh my God, look at this. It's like I'm picking up the fossil and turning it around.
Yep. So what do you see here is a teeny tiny just born Stegosaurus. It's a little footprint. And next to it's a little bit older, maybe cousin, maybe sibling.
Yeah.
What it tells us is those groups of animals were walking together.
You can't get this close if you're in the museum.
Yes.
This is incredible.
So we have the raptors on the slab. I can show you. So this is the actual size of the baby Stegosaurus.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
Can you go back over real quick? And there's a model of an adult Stegosaurus foot.
Yes. So this is actually the growth. So if you want to check this out, we can get a little bit closer. So this is the growth from the little teeny tiny baby to the fully grown up bus size animal. Let's go back to the adult one. Missy did an amazing video about those tracks. Yes, but
Yeah.
those, yeah, this is the adult one.
Isn't that incredible? Look at this.
Thank you. I love photogrammetry. This is such an interesting way of presenting.
It looks like it loves you back.
Well, thank you.
That is so cool. Oh my gosh.
You see those right?
How long? Yeah, absolutely. You can see the toes right there. How long did this particular piece take for you to model?
So each model is so different, you can't really predict. So for this adult, it took me maybe 3 days. For the little baby slab, about a week.
Wow. Because there's so many photos. I mean, you have something, I don't think we've ever seen another baby Stegosaurus specimen, that, at least not that I'm aware of.
So there are just a couple. I know that there are a few in Colorado and one in China.
Yeah.
So as far as I know, they're incredibly rare.
This is so cool.
You know what is interesting about Stegosaurus? As far as I know,
anything, but go ahead, tell me.
no eggs ever found.
No eggs found a Stegosaurus yet?
Nope.
That is interesting. Especially when you have a newborn right here. You'd think that it should be 20 feet that way.
It's so tiny. If you want to see it, another baby, there is an apatosaurus over here.
Before we do that, because I love me some apatosaurus. Go back over, because next to the genuine dinosaur feet and the genuine ichnofossils, there's a big model of a stegosaurus foot. It's like a painted one. Can you show us that for a quick second? And I got a reason for it.
Okay. Yeah. Which one?
A little over to the right, right there in the corner.
This one.
Yeah.
Oh, this one.
That
okay.
One. Yeah,
I'm here.
Model right there.
Yep.
Yes. Can we take a closer look at that?
You can, definitely. Yep.
Hey. All right. So you see that foot right there?
Yes.
So this is a combination of those are the actual bones of a Stegosaurus foot. And then there was an artist by the name of Shane Folks who was commissioned to model the outside of the foot. Shane does some incredible models of these things. He actually has displays that come here to Orlando every year at one of our botanical gardens, and they are some of the most gorgeous creatures ever. Every time I see his Parasaurolophus, I literally cry because it looks like it's just laying there and it's gorgeous every single time. The reason
That's
I like
beautiful.
This one, it really is. The reason I like this one in particular is because I have the mold that it was made with.
No way. This
so,
is incredible. Oh.
This is fun. This is a neat little thing. Shane was connected with him on social media, and he's like, hey, I've got a few of the molds that I don't really use anymore. So I ended up buying this from him, along with the ability to make my own cast. So I can make my own versions of those, and eventually I'm going to get one that works right. So
this is really, really great.
It's cute, right? It's fun.
Yeah.
So it's this is every time I see the Mars Museum, I think, I got that foot floating around here someplace. So now it's nice to see what it's supposed to look like, and I'll get there eventually. All right.
Stegosaurus are cute.
They really are. Thank you so much for indulging me on that one. All right, let's look at the baby apatosaurus. Like, I'm a big fan of those too.
Well, let's go look. So this whole slab has a few tracks, and do you see the big apatosaurus here?
I do.
Yeah, so it's all the way here.
That is a big footprint.
This is a big footprint. And here you see all the little ones. I will show in a second my 3D. But what it shows us is basically those little babies were running on their back feet all around the adults.
Oh my gosh.
This art is representing how it probably was. This particular model took me about 1,000 photos and maybe 2 weeks of work. look at those little babies.
Oh, wow. Like, oh, wow.
Boom, boom, yeah. Boom. Yeah. Like over here, there's a track. So they were just definitely running.
Maybe now, if I remember correctly, if I remember correctly from the story behind this fossil, this is right when the baby Apatosaurus was trying to make friends with a baby Triceratops, and they got too close to a Tyrannosaur. So then the mother Apatosaurus had to come in and save the day. If I'm remembering that correctly, this is what that scene was.
This is a scientific evidence, yes.
And now I'm sad. Elena, that's
that
gorgeous.
I know. Thank you. Yeah, I love it. It just shows how they lived, and you are getting so close to these animals. Like you can't do that with the fossils. Ichnofossils is something different.
Yeah. It's so hard to capture. Like, we don't really have much that shows behavior of animals in their stories. Like, you've got, like, my friend Dean Lomax's book, Locked in Time, where you see all these different cases where we have something caught in the act. But this is giving us a vision. It's a story. It's something happening. It's a snapshot in these animal lives. And you've captured that in a way that no one else has been able to see before. So this is incredible.
There is a big site which shows a migration through a few states. It's more than 20 miles of different types of animals, different track makers just going along the way.
Where is that?
And it stretches from Wyoming to Colorado, and it's a couple states. It's a huge track site.
Have you been to the Glen Rose, Texas tracks yet at Dinosaur National Park?
Unfortunately, not yet.
No?
But I can't wait to go there and
you'll get there.
Do a few photography. Yeah.
Yeah, Dinosaur Valley State Park. I had a chance to get out there not too long ago. And actually, that brings me to my next question. So you have done thousands of photos and hours of work to get all these things so meticulously and beautiful. Have you had experience trying around with some of the new apps that are supposed to be able to do like 3D scanning and 3D modeling?
There are a bunch of apps. My favorite, actually, it's free and it's super easy to install on your phone, but they're not accurate. So when you do it for a scientific publication, so as I mentioned before, you remove 90% of the data and you capture it with your professional equipment, right? With the phone, those scanners are very, let's say, inexpensive and not as accurate as the camera ones. And the processing, so compare like 2 minutes when you process it on your phone and you have no involvement, so you can't really change any input. It's like a black box. Here, when I do my photogrammetry, I spend numerous of steps to remove those data, but it depends on the application. So for the scientific papers, for the research, it has to be absolutely accurate.
So yours are so meticulous that these are credible for research. You can submit these. If you find something that's game-changing, if you go back over your Stegosaurus and you say, oh, by the way, there is a little eggshell here, we can publish a paper based off of your designs.
My photogrammetry is in scientific publications, yes.
That's fantastic. That's amazing.
Oh, I was so cool. Very lucky to work with beautiful, wonderful, best scientists in the track fossils area. Yeah.
So we're going to link a few of your accomplishments in your papers here below so people can see some of the actual scientific research that is expanding the breadth of human knowledge based on your projects and your abilities to make things happen here. Okay.
Thank you.
What else do you want to show us in the museum?
So everybody loves T-Rex. Let's go to the second floor.
I know that Matthew has a very unique Stan skull that's here. He's made a couple of adjustments and modifications to make it really cool and really stand out. Plus, I love about this museum that there are no gates or fences or walls up around things.
I love this museum.
Wants them to be approachable.
Right. So every time you go inside the museum, like physically, you have a little tour. So you're not just roaming on your own, which you can, but every time you're there, you have a little lecture. So you walk from one display to another and you learn so much about every animal. And I really love about that. So we have some zoom ins for a few animals. Oh, I love it.
This is a big Utah raptor with that sclerotic ring.
This is the famous rat, yeah, Utah raptor. No, do you know what he's doing?
What Red here is doing? And when you say Red, this is Raptor Red from Robert Backer's book.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's cleaning the feathers.
Oh, fun.
Like the modern birds do.
Yeah. He's pruning himself.
Yep.
And there's Stan.
Yes. As you did fantastic videos about the Tyrannosaurus. He did really interesting videos about the Triceratops brain here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Can we see it?
We can see a little snippet.
Okay, we'll take a little bit. We don't get to see the whole thing.
Even though this head is about as big as a washing machine, it was balanced perfectly. And how do we know that? Well, the brain case, detachable in this case, looks like this. The spinal cord begins here. This round ball joint is called the occipital condyle. This is where the neck, which is fused, connects with the skull. The skull should be balanced right at this point. The big, heavy frill of bone is counterbalanced by the front end of the skull. From that opening where the spinal cord begins, going to here, you have the brain of the Triceratops. Even though it's not very large, we don't know how it's wired. So we can't tell you how smart or sophisticated Triceratops was. But by looking at the various lobes in the brain that control sense of smell, sight, and hearing, we can get a rough sense about how sharp a Triceratops' senses were. Great sense of smell, pretty good sight, okay hearing.
I will pause it. It's a couple minutes. So
that's so cool.
Thank you. So when we were doing this first museum, we were thinking of how the content should be presented. And my idea was, when you're in the museum, you have so little chances of meet with the directors or curators or scientists who usually work on those exhibits or do the scientific research. So if we will be able to provide those interviews or documentaries, that would be so cool.
Oh, that's amazing stuff. I love it. That's so
great. Thank you. I love it. I'm biased. Yeah.
So how do people access the platform? Now that we've seen a little bit about what Museum Traveler is and what it can do, I know that it's been in development for such a long time, because something like this, it has to be done correctly. And it looks like you got it great so far. So where can people find out more?
Museumtraveler.com. Sign in and enjoy the whole platform. It's very affordable. It's just $2.99 per month or $24.99 per year.
Oh, that's not bad at all. And then what can I view it on? Do I need to have any other special technology in order to experience this?
We're introducing VR headset this year, but now you can view it on your PC, laptop, tablet, or cell phone.
So anything that connects to the internet now, I should be able to...
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Our next plan is to introduce a VR headset, smart TV, and augmented reality. When you can go to Yellowstone, you bring your cell phone or your tablet or your smart glasses when it will be ready. And you can see all of those content highlighted. You look at the Mammoth Hot Springs and you see all the information, all the documentaries, and all the signs that we put in the virtual space when you're there physically. It's like a combination of the digital and the physical world.
So then I'll be able to have your experts and your tour guides and the people who know this land and these locations right there alongside me while I'm walking around.
Yes, we're planning to have the park rangers and the educators, and it's a big plan of partnering with multiple entities to build the best content we can.
That is terrific. I appreciate that so much. And I can't wait to see the other museums and other locations and other dinosaurs that you've been able to capture here. And Elena, if people want to find out more about you and the projects that you're working on, in addition to museumtraveler.com, where can they find you?
I have my little Instagram account when I'm posting everything about my travels and my passions, my photogrammetry projects. That's Alina Skysail. It started as actually my two hobbies. I love astrophotography and I love boating. So that's what my account was for, which slowly transitioned to paleontology only.
That's fantastic. Well, hey, thank you so much for being here with us today. This has been an absolute delight and such a treat to see what you're doing and the next steps in how people can engage with museums, no matter where they are in the world, because no matter where you are, what you do, or how old you are, we know the dinosaurs will always be awesome.
Thank you. Dinosaurs are always awesome.